up on Encouragement Live, is there a link between our purpose, our values, and our beliefs about money? We'll discuss this with Roxanne Intermule of His Faithful Stewards tonight. Stay with us for Encouragement Live.
Welcome to Encouragement Live, providing biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of practical life issues. Now here's your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Thank you, friend, for joining us tonight. Good to have you with us. Our mission is to provide biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of topics. This is Encouragement Live, coming to you from studios located in First Christian Church of Wiley, Texas. I'm glad to welcome Roxanne Intermule of His Faithful Stewards back to the program tonight. Roxanne, it's always great to have you with us. Good evening.
Thank you, Don. It's good to be here.
And tonight we're talking about the issue of money in our lives, and I think sometimes we fail to see that there is a connection between our purpose, our values, and what we believe about money. And tonight we're going to talk about this topic and how we bring those areas into agreement according to scriptures. Now, I think, Roxanne, a lot of us have never really stopped to ask ourselves, what is the purpose of money in our lives? But if we want to get money right from a spiritual perspective, I think we need to start with purpose. What do we see the Bible giving us as the purpose of money?
Well, when I look at the Bible, I see three purposes for money. I'm sure other people might find, you know, more than that or some other nuances to that. But three of them seem real clear to me. First, God provides money for our daily living. I mean, we can see that in a number of places in the Bible. I mean, Matthew 6:33 comes to mind. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And the context of that verse shows us that these things is basically food and clothes.
Yeah.
So God provides these, and he usually provides it by providing money. So God provides to, you know, to provide these for us if we seek him.
And he's told us there to make him the priority and not money. Now, you mentioned three purposes for money. What is the second?
Well, throughout the Bible, we see giving to be a really important aspect of a believer's life. I mean, as early as Genesis, we see Abraham sacrificing the best of his flock to the Lord. Then we move on to Exodus, and the Israelites are commanded to give to support the construction of the tabernacle. Later, Israel's lack of following the law and giving, you know, what was required of them, numerous prophets in the Old Testament, they expose the lack of giving as an evidence that the people's heart had departed from God. And the New Testament has a number of occasions calling for sacrificial giving. And Jesus stated clearly in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So part of living a life of faith is being willing to give back from what God has given to us. If our treasure is in the Lord and in heaven, we'll hold money with a loose hand. If our treasure is money, we're likely to hold it in a tight fist. So money is really kind of a test of our heart.
Yes, and I think of the words of the Apostle Paul, where he said that we're to every one of them lay by him in store as God has prospered, and we're to give not grudgingly nor of obligation, 2 Corinthians 9:6 and 7. God loves a cheerful giver. And as I recall, Roxanne, I believe the word there is a hilarious giver, somebody that finds great joy to the point of hilarity out of the exercise of giving. And probably,
I think that's a great picture.
not everybody feels that way. Well, let's move on to the third purpose for money that you see in Scripture.
Okay. Well, we see God expanding the wealth of Abraham and the wealth of Israel as a nation. And we see an actual virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 being wise in business and expanding her money. Jesus also told a number of parables about money in which those who acted wisely and expanded the resources which God had entrusted them were commended. The most obvious would be the parable of the stewards in Matthew 25.
Let me jump in real quickly here, and just we've got a break coming up, and we'll come right back and pick that up on Encouragement Live.
That unwanted vehicle of yours might not take you anywhere, but it can drive encouragement and hope to listeners everywhere. Donate it to Encouragement Live, and we'll pick it up, even if it isn't running. We'll use it to fund this ministry. It's easy and free. Mention Encouragement Live when you call 855-500-RIDE. Get the eyesore out of your yard and donate that car today. Call 855-500-RIDE or encouragementlive.org.
The focus is Jesus. The message is the gospel. The task is the Great Commission.
Global Advance founder Dr. David Shibley on the focus of his worldwide ministry.
Prayer is more important than ever before. These men live in danger, and our teams that go to minister to them are increasingly in danger.
To learn more about empowering frontline leaders worldwide, visit globaladvance.org. That's globaladvance.org.
Tonight on Encouragement Live, we're talking with Roxanne Endermule of HisFaithfulStewards.com. You might want to check that out, the website. There is a free self-assessment tool available at HisFaithfulStewards.com, and you can check that out, and you can go to the contact button there and schedule a time for a free chat with Roxanne about your financial issues. We are talking about the purpose of money tonight. We've already learned that the first purpose of money is for God to provide for our daily living. The second purpose is for God to provide so that we can exercise giving. And Roxanne, it seems like living and giving, we could find a third term that would rhyme with that. That would be nice, but that's probably not the case. I think you're talking about growing resources. You've talked about Abraham and the woman in Proverbs 31. And then as we went to the break, you were about to take us to the New Testament, to Matthew 25.
Yeah, in Matthew 25, we see that parable of the stewards. And in that parable, it shows us that we're entrusted with the money that, you know, that we have, and that we're expected to grow it wisely. I mean, he doesn't want us to bury it in the ground in fear or to risk losing it. But he entrusts resources to us so that we might grow them. And he wants us to remember that it doesn't really belong to us. We're managers of his resources. So not to be overly simplistic, but I see God's purposes for money to be to live, to give, and to grow and expand it.
And you did get the rhyme there. The living and giving and growing and expanding, certainly important there. By the way, our toll-free number is 855-586-5433. Now, you've talked about these three purposes. Does an individual's purpose or life mission play a role in getting money right?
You know, I believe it does. I mean, if a person's called to minister to people in poverty, their use of money would have to build bridges with the people to whom they're called.
Sure.
I mean, a person trying to reach people in poverty with a message of God's love, they're not going to be very effective if they go in and design their clothes and fancy jewelry. So a call to sacrifice some material things may accompany that purpose. Whereas someone who God wants to use in reaching high-end executives, let's say, would need to be like those executives as well. Kind of when in Rome, do as the Romans.
Right. Yeah.
So for them, it may be important to drive nice cars and wear nice clothes in order to have the respect from those that they're trying to reach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So our individual purpose is found in loving God and loving others. And the specifics of that might look different from one person to the next. I mean, God gives us the provisions that we need to accomplish the purpose that he has for us. Or stated briefly, where God guides, he provides.
Yes. Right.
We just need to search our hearts to know where God's guiding us. And be sure that we aren't just guiding ourselves to our preferred lifestyle.
Yeah, very important. I love the way you've connected our particular purpose, especially as it relates to ministry and money, and then being adaptable to the people that God calls us to minister to. Now, when we started our discussion, Roxanne, you were talking about the importance of purpose and values and beliefs needing to line up. We're going to come back and pick up on that subject and focus on the Bible's position on the value of money. Our toll-free number is 855-586-5433. You can learn more about Roxanne at HisFaithfulStewards.com. We'll be back. Hello, I'm Don Hawkins. As a grandparent, I've become increasingly concerned that our grandchildren are being exposed in school and through the media to woke, liberal doctrines that will certainly undermine their Christian faith. That's why we've developed our Grand Coaching course, because I believe those of us who are Christian grandparents have the heart and conviction to help counter these evil influences, and with the skills and strategies in this course, with God's help, you can make a difference in the lives of your grandsons and granddaughters. While taking this course, you'll learn the basics of life coaching, the biblical foundation for Christian life coaching, the difference between coaching and counseling, and how to listen and ask cultivating questions to help your grandchildren make wise decisions. To learn more or sign up for the resources available, visit grandcoaching.org. That's one word, grandcoaching.org.
Sat7 is satellite Christian television.
Dr. Rex Rogers, president of Sat7.
We broadcast throughout the Middle East and North Africa every day, 24/7, in Arabic, Farsi, and Turkish. Farsi is Iran. So we're speaking in a people's home and heart language. We're sharing the gospel.
To learn more or support this ministry, visit sat7usa.org. That's S-A-T, the number 7, USA.org.
Toni King on her new book, The Maze of Medicare.
I looked up on the internet how many books have biblical in regards to Medicare, and there was zero. And then God brought you into my life, and you helped me write The Maze of Medicare because we took Medicare and put scripture with it. Because people are stressed. They don't know what to do, where to turn.
You can order The Maze of Medicare at TonySays.com. That's T-O-N-I, TonySays.com. Welcome back to Encouragement Live. I'm Don Hawkins with Roxanne Endermule of HisFaithfulStewards.com. Music you're hearing in the background produced by Brad Smithart. You can Google Brad and download a number of the cuts that he's done, some excellent music. And by the way, if you'd like to connect up with Roxanne to get some wise counsel, you can go to the contact button at HisFaithfulStewards.com. Schedule a time for a free chat. Roxanne would be glad to chat with you about what's going on with your finances. And the scripture says, in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom and there's safety. Now, Roxanne, we were talking about the importance of purpose and values and beliefs. We've talked about purpose. Let's move on to the value of money as you see it right now.
Okay. Well, the value of money in the Bible is tied to our hearts. I mean, we see many occasions of the Lord rewarding those with material blessings who are faithful. Not always, but, you know, we see it a fair bit.
Sure.
A clear example of that would be Job. I mean, he started off wealthy, and then he lost everything, his wealth, his family, his health. And none of it happened because of anything Job did. Yet, despite his wife telling him he should curse God, Job remained faithful. And even though Job's friends tried to tell him it was all his fault and tried to tell, you know, that he had lost everything, Job still stood strong. He was confused about why all the bad things were happening to him, but he stayed faithful to the Lord. And when the time of testing was done and Job had not turned his back on the Lord, God restored his wealth, his family, and his health. I mean, the losses proved Job's faithfulness in valuing God over money and possessions, and he was rewarded.
Yeah, he's a really inspirational story, and to think about the patience that he had between the time he lost everything, enduring the friends who kept blaming him and the wife who told him to curse God and die. What an example for us. Wonder if you could think of a New Testament example that would help us see the value of money.
Yeah, sure. One of my favorites for that is we see a woman with a sordid background anoint Jesus' feet with a costly perfume. I mean, that was a really extravagant gift, and the gospel says that perfume would have cost like a year's wages. And this woman, having come out of, you know, a pretty sordid background, probably didn't have much. So this woman demonstrated her great value and love of Jesus with this great generosity. I mean, she was commended for it. So the value of money is tied to having a heart that doesn't hold it tightly. I mean, we see the biblical value of money portrayed when a person's faithfulness and love for the Lord holds strong, and they seek to bless him with what they have, no matter how much or how little that might be.
Yeah, sounds like the widow that gave the two mites, and Jesus said she gave more than they all because basically she was giving everything she had. Good example of that, probably.
Yes. That's another one.
Now, yeah, two extremes there. One gave a very extravagant gift. One gave, percentage-wise, a very high gift, but very low in terms of actual value. Now, Roxanne, you talked about needing to have our beliefs about money in line with purposes and values. What is the direction the Bible gives us about beliefs concerning money?
Well, I actually think this is an area where there can be a lot of confusion. Mm. I mean, one of the most misquoted verses that I hear from the Bible is 1 Timothy 6:10.
Oh, yes.
Paul tells Timothy that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. But I've so often heard people quote this as money is the root of all kinds of evil.
Yeah.
And Paul's not calling money evil. He's only calling out a heart that loves money and compromises their relationship with the Lord because of it. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that money's bad or that having it is wrong. But many of us kind of believe that. So many think that they only have God's favor if they're struggling to make ends meet and feeling poor. But the Bible doesn't teach that.
Do you think that causes some of the mixed feelings that people have? Maybe they really want money and they love money, but deep down inside they feel like money is evil, that there's kind of a mental conflict, emotional conflict there, do you think?
Yeah, I actually do. And I think that, you know, people find themselves self-sabotaging without even realizing it.
Yeah. Now, Jesus elevated the poor. Do you think he was saying being poor was more godly than having money or resources?
No.
Yeah.
Often Jesus elevated the poor and he called attention to them.
Sure.
Society was marginalizing the poor and looked down on them. And so Jesus lifted them up. I mean, many have interpreted it to mean that you have more of God's favor if you're going to be more blessed by him if you're poor. But Jesus elevated all people who are marginalized, and he affirmed God's equal love and concern for everyone.
Yeah.
We also see Jesus reach for tax collectors like Matthew and Zacchaeus, and they weren't poor.
Right.
But they were looked down on by Jewish society and marginalized. So Jesus wasn't elevating poverty as a preferred living style. He was showing that a person's value was not tied to their wealth.
So does the Bible teach that all material blessings are a reward from God, do you think?
Well, first, everything belongs to the Lord. We always have to remember that.
Oh, yes.
But that doesn't mean that everyone who has wealth has gotten it as a blessing from the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, one example I can think of is in Genesis 20. Abraham had lied about Sarah and told the king that she was just his sister. And so the king took her into his harem. After God spoke to the king in a dream and told him that Sarah was Abraham's wife, the king returned Sarah to Abraham, and then he also gave him livestock, slaves, and silver. So Abraham really made out in that circumstance.
Yeah.
But we can't call this God's blessing Abraham for his faithfulness.
Oh, I would think
he wasn't faithful.
Oh, no.
he lied. He endangered his wife,
right.
And the king was just trying to show his penance to appease the Lord for his actions.
Yeah.
So it just happened that Abraham made out really well in that event.
Yeah, so you cannot read into the fact that maybe your bank account is growing or your stock accounts are growing and say, well, this means I'm really being blessed by the Lord. Now, you've got some other thoughts about this. The first one was that everything belongs to God. Is there a time when God's blessing would include money and wealth?
Well, I think we can see an example of that. I mean, there's times when God's, you know, blessing has been shown in Scripture, like in 1 Kings 3, God promised Solomon one thing, and Solomon could pick whatever he wanted to ask God, and Solomon asked for wisdom.
Yeah.
And it says right there in 1 Kings 3 that because God was pleased with Solomon's request for wisdom, instead of asking for other selfish things, the Lord also gave him riches.
And he was probably the richest man, certainly of his generation, maybe of any generation. I was reading that recently and just thinking about the amazing, the Queen of Sheba showed up and she said, "The half has not been told me of terms of the wealth of your kingdom." Pretty amazing. Now, we've talked about everything belongs to God. Sometimes God will do as he did with Solomon and bless a person with money, even when they don't ask for money. But help us understand the place of money throughout the Bible.
Well, we can go back to when the Israelites were wandering in the desert and the construction of the tabernacle began. What's important to notice is that God wants the Israelites to bring some of their best possessions for use in the tabernacle. I mean, they're to bring precious metals, precious stones, and to give them for the construction. I mean, God's not practicing frugality in the construction of his tabernacle at all.
Right.
And he's actually calling for their very best because he is worth it. Giving generously bestowed honor and love back to God. So it demonstrated the priority of their heart. But notice that in order to have these things to bring to the tabernacle, Israel had some wealth. I mean, we always think of them as broke nomads wandering around the desert, and they were nomads. But they had riches they'd brought from Egypt, and they weren't broke.
Yeah, God had provided them money in Egypt, and it was amazing that they went out of Egypt, as you say, as nomads, but not as poor nomads. They had herds and flocks, but they also had silver and gold and jewels and all kinds of things that they put into the tabernacle. And eventually, the temple is another great example of where you could say extravagance was built into that in a sense that glorified God. Now, can you think of some other examples, Roxanne, of people in the Bible and maybe the Old Testament or the New Testament who had wealth, had riches?
There's most all of the kings demonstrated that they had riches just by lieu of their position.
Sure.
And then we talked about Job. But also, if you look at Luke 8:3, we read about Joanna and Susanna, who were wealthy women, who really funded Jesus' ministry.
Yeah.
In Acts, we see Lydia, who was a dealer in purple. So, the purples weren't inexpensive.
Right.
And then the book of Philemon is written to Onesimus, and Onesimus was a slave owner, so we know he wasn't poor either.
Right.
We see James address believers with, significant wealth in James 5, 1 through 5. I mean, the only condemnation for having wealth and riches comes from using it selfishly and not giving to others what they have coming to them.
Good point. Yeah.
So money's not good or bad. It's okay to have it. It's okay not to have it. But the Bible only comments on the use of money and its place in our hearts. After all, we didn't bring it into the world with us, and we're not taking it with us when we go. We're just managing God's resources while we're here.
Yeah, I remember hearing Chuck Swindoll say, "You never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer." So you cannot take it with you. That is a graphic picture. Our toll-free number is 855-586-5433. If you have a question or comment for Roxanne tonight, we're working our way through some great material that Roxanne has put together to help us understand the purpose, the value, and beliefs concerning money. And I believe, Roxanne, you're working on a book related to this material, and I want to encourage you to get that book done and get it out. I think there's a real need for it.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Yes, I've learned a thing or two about the time I'm working on books. I'm almost finished with my good friend Alan Bean, a book on interruptions, but we've had so many interruptions, it's taken us about a year to get it done. little humor there. Now, let's go back to the concept of stewardship. We're going to talk about this when we come back from our next break, the role of stewardship in our beliefs. And before we go to the break, I want to mention to those of you listening that if you would like to talk with Roxanne about where you are in terms of your personal resources, you can go to hisfaithfulstewards.com. In that website, there's a Contact Us button, and you click on that, you can schedule a time for a free chat with Roxanne. And I believe, Roxanne, there's also a telephone number there where people can set up a time to connect up with you. Is that correct? Am I right?
That is correct. Yes, and I will tell you, though, it is a message line. So it's important that you leave a message on that line, and we'll call you back and get you set up.
Right. Keep that in mind. That is not a line that you're going to Roxanne answering right away. She's probably working on her book, but you can leave a message, and she will get back with you. Or go to the website, the contact button, to schedule a time at hisfaithfulstewards.com. We'll be back with more on Encouragement Live.
Here's Roxanne Intermule of HisFaithfulStewards.com.
Being a good steward of the resources God has entrusted to us means expanding them without exposing them to unnecessary risk.
Losing a significant portion of your retirement savings can be a devastating blow, but many experience this when their money is kept in the market.
I recently had a conversation with an 80-year-old client. She had lost more than $100,000 of her retirement in less than 8 months, and it was all because her financial planner had left her money at risk in the market.
His Faithful Stewards shows people how to stop gambling with their retirement, how to earn double-digit interest, and to never risk losing their money in a market downturn.
Many people don't realize until it's too late that their retirement is at risk in most 401ks. They don't know that there's safer ways to grow money while still earning a double-digit return.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free self-assessment tool that helps you to see if you're on track with your finances at HisFaithfulStewards.com. HisFaithfulStewards.com.
Dr. Frank Minerth was a pioneer in Christian counseling, and I had the privilege of working with him for several years.
Christian psychiatrist Dr. Tom Schoaf of the Hope Speaks Clinic in suburban Dallas.
I'm looking for Christian psychiatrists, psychologists, and therapists who would be willing to join me in carrying on Dr. Minerth's legacy.
To learn about working with Dr. Schoaf and his team of Christian professionals at Hope Speaks Clinic, you may visit hopespeaks.com/opportunity.
When you need to consider independent or assisted living or memory care for a parent or spouse, Restoration Senior Living provides a distinctly Christian setting with the most stringent quality care. Restoration's innovative program addresses the medical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions, leading to an enhanced quality of life. You can learn more at restorationsl.com. That's restorationsl.com.
For over 30 years, Don Hawkins has provided radio encouragement with a variety of gifted guests. Now you can be encouraged by these interviews with guests like Greg and Aaron Smalley, Dan Cathy, Dr. Frank Minerth, Josh McDowell, and more. Subscribe to the weekly Encouragement for You podcast, dropping Wednesdays at lifeaudio.com or at your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to Encouragement Live. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. Here again is your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Tonight, we're talking with Roxanne Intermule of HisFaithfulStewards.com and our topic, the purpose, value, and beliefs about money. Maybe you haven't stopped to think about those, but there's a very definite connection between money and our personal beliefs, our life mission, our purpose in life. Roxanne, the name of your organization is His Faithful Stewards. And I suspect from that, that there is an important role that stewardship plays in our beliefs.
Oh, I actually believe it does. I think it's foundational. I mean, when we really wrap our heads and our hearts around the fact that everything really belongs to the Lord, not to us, it changes how we view it.
Yeah.
I mean, are we going to enter the race to see how much we can accumulate before we die? Or will we... Are we going to look at, you know, what internal impact we can make with the money that's been entrusted to us? I mean, if we're managing God's money and we keep that belief first in our heart, it's going to impact our spending and our view of our belongings. In Matthew 25, the parable of the stewards, Jesus makes clear that good stewardship means using and expanding the resources entrusted to us, not burying them in the ground or risking them.
Hmm.
I mean, the steward that was condemned didn't even lose anything.
Yeah.
He just failed to grow the resources. And that earned judgment. I mean, there was no stewards in the story who actually lost their master's resources.
And thought about
that. I can only imagine. Yeah, and I can only imagine what the response would have been to the steward who had carelessly risked and lost money.
Yeah, and very important principle there in Matthew chapter 25. You know, we think of the talents, and many people interpret that as, okay, I've got the talent for singing, or I've got the talent for teaching, or whatever. But that's not what that passage is talking about. Talent was a measure of the money of the day, correct?
Yes, it was. That was, and everybody knew when he was talking about that at that time that he was talking about money.
Yeah, and they understood it, and we should too. Now, Roxanne, in your work with people, what do you see as some of the obstacles that individuals face in their financial lives, maybe that they might not recognize?
Okay. Well, when there are things in our lives that cause us to feel disconnected from our goals, it can often become self-defeating. I mean, for example, if we haven't settled the purpose of money in our lives, it's tough to navigate through financial decisions. We need our values and our beliefs and our purposes to all be in line.
Do you have an example of that? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. If we hold a belief, even if it's subconscious, that we aren't worthy of having money or that money is bad, I mean, we'll find subtle ways to sabotage money coming into our life. Or if we have some belief that we'll be more valued by God if we are poor, that internal belief will probably push us away from making wise financial decisions, even if we're not aware of it.
Yeah.
I mean, if we hold a selfish view of money and think that our money is our own, we'll do a lot of things with the money without checking with the Lord first.
Yeah, and that's such an important principle. Again, if God owns everything and I'm getting ready to buy a new car or trade in an old car or trying to decide, can I get another year out of this old clunker, I need to talk to the Lord about that. And I may also need some wise counsel from one of God's people that maybe knows a little more about managing money than me. Would that be true?
I would agree with that, yes.
So keep that in mind. Now, Roxanne, you help people with stewardship of their money. That's really your calling, and you do that in a couple of different ways. Could you elaborate on that?
Sure. Well, one thing, our culture has led us to believe that the best place to grow money is in the stock market. I hear it all the time. I mean, the government wants us to put money in the stock market because a strong stock market benefits those rich investors that fund political campaigns. So the government gives employers great incentives to offer employee retirement accounts that put money into the stock market. We call those 401ks, 403bs. People have been conditioned to accept the risk and the potential loss of their money in the stock market as necessary, along with all the high fees that come with that. And so what they didn't realize is that there are places to grow money that have like 100% guarantee that you're never going to lose that principal or any interest you've been given. And what I work with over the last 10 years has averaged 8 to 13% per year, and some have no fees at all. So now, naturally, the growth isn't guaranteed, and when the market drops, these accounts don't grow, but they don't lose money, and they don't go backwards since the money isn't actually in the market.
Yeah.
So we help people put their retirement savings into a safe place where it's never at risk of loss, and it still grows well. Then it can be protected for living, giving, and growing.
Those are those 3 points, living, giving, and growing, that we made earlier in the broadcast. There will be a quiz, by the way, at the end of the program, and make sure you remember those three. And by the way, Roxanne, it's interesting that this vehicle, this tool that you're talking about that you have access to and your clients have access to, really parallels that parable of the stewardship in Matthew, the stewards in Matthew 25, in that you don't lose the money. The very worst thing that can happen is that you don't gain. I want to make sure that we underscore that point, but there is the potential for even double-digit growth, correct?
Yes, there is. Yeah, and one other thing we do, too, is we also help our clients develop a complete financial plan that helps them to find any holes or unnecessary risks in their portfolio and giving them a plan for the future that will be as secure as possible.
Yeah, you know, I can't help thinking, Roxanne, a lot of people haven't even thought about a financial plan. They do a lot of planning in different areas, but this would be the kind of thing that would be very beneficial. Some of you may want to reach out to Roxanne at hisfaithfulstewards.com and to go to the Contact Us button there to schedule a time for a free chat with Roxanne, or leave a message on the phone number that is accessible there, and you can find out how Roxanne may be able to help you with some of that planning. Now, Roxanne, there's some other things that you do as well. Can you talk about those?
Yeah, sure. We also work with a specialty trust that can really help investors and especially self-employed people reduce their income taxes by like 90% or more.
Mm.
It's a 70-year-old trust, and it's been copyrighted for over 25 years. And though there's thousands of them in use, the copyright on them does keep them pretty exclusive, and they're unknown by most other attorneys and accountants. So, and it's a fabulous tool for the person who's paying high self-employment or investment tax.
And this is the season of the year when taxes are on the minds of almost all of us, with the April 15th deadline bearing down. And those of us who pay self-employment tax or that kind of thing, this could be a great benefit. Again, I heard you right, Roxanne. This could actually potentially reduce income taxes by 90% or more through a 70-year-old trust that is very, shall we say, lesser known to the average person in the financial industry.
Yes, that is correct. That's the one that we use.
Yeah. Now, that sounds like a great tool for people paying that high self-employment or, and self-employment or investment taxes. My voice getting a little froggy. Now, talk about this whole thing of financial plans for retirement. Talk about that.
Well, when I work on financial plans with people, it's you know, we've already taken a look and they've decided they want to work with us. And so we take a look at their whole financial situation and we look at where the risk is. We look at where their goals are. We look at what they already have in place. And then we figure out the best thing to do to structure things so that they can steward that money in ways that provides for themselves. So, it you know, for living, for giving, you know, and for expanding. And so we put those plans in place according to what, you know, they believe God's leading them to do, what God's leading them to accomplish. And then we provide that and help them execute that once we found one that works.
There's that clue again, those three very important points to remember. God has given us money for living, he's given us money for giving, and he's given us money to grow that money, for growing it. So keep those things in mind. And again, the web address, hisfaithfulstewards.com. Now, a lot of people these days are talking about or investing in gold and silver, maybe gold and silver coins. Do you carry that sort of thing?
Well, I do carry a line of that. And the reason we do that is because some people are not able to get their savings out of the market. So the line of gold and silver that we carry is specifically to help offset market risk.
Hmm.
Because typically when the market goes down, precious metals go up in value and vice versa. So it helps to provide a small hedge against those market losses for those who can't get their money to safety. I mean, a lot of times people are working someplace, they have a 401k, and they can't take that until they leave where they're working.
Yeah.
And so, and the company that we work with provides actual coin and precious metals, not coin or metal on paper. And they guarantee to buy it back at market value anytime a person wants. And it's actually a physical resource. And the coins are old enough that their purchase doesn't have to be reported to the government.
Oh, that's a helpful thing to know. So again, if you'd like information on any of these vehicles that Roxanne has been talking about, you can go to the website, hisfaithfulstewards.com. The Contact Us button will give you the access to scheduling a time for a free chat. And you can also leave a message on the telephone number there, which goes to a voicemail, and Roxanne will be able to get back with you. We've been talking about the purposes of money to live on, money for giving, to especially to God's work, and for growing money. We've talked about the value of money being tied to our hearts and how we view stewardship and ownership. We've talked about beliefs about money from a biblical perspective. Now, Roxanne, if somebody could remember only one thing that we talked about tonight, out of all those things I just mentioned, what would you think to be the most important thing?
Well, I think as Christians, we have to live our lives with an eternal perspective, knowing that we're just in training for eternity here on earth. So I would go to the passage in Matthew 6 and start with verse 19. There it says, "Do not store up treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I mean, this is talking about our treasure and what we value most. Above all, we need to value Jesus and his kingdom. He needs to be our treasure. If we do that and we are wise stewards of what he entrusts to us, we're on the road to getting money right.
Wise words from Roxanne Intermule of His Faithful Stewards. And the phone lines are open at 855-586-5433. Hello, I'm Don Hawkins. As a grandparent, I've become increasingly concerned that our grandchildren are being exposed in school and through the media to woke, liberal doctrines that will certainly undermine their Christian faith. That's why we've developed our Grand Coaching course, because I believe those of us who are Christian grandparents have the heart and conviction to help counter these evil influences, and with the skills and strategies in this course, with God's help, you can make a difference in the lives of your grandsons and granddaughters. While taking this course, you'll learn the basics of life coaching, the biblical foundation for Christian life coaching, the difference between coaching and counseling, and how to listen and ask cultivating questions to help your grandchildren make wise decisions. To learn more or sign up for the resources available, visit grandcoaching.org. That's one word, grandcoaching.org.
Here's Roxanne Intermule of HisFaithfulStewards.com.
Being a good steward of the resources God has entrusted to us means expanding them without exposing them to unnecessary risk.
Losing a significant portion of your retirement savings can be a devastating blow, but many experience this when their money is kept in the market.
I recently had a conversation with an 80-year-old client. She had lost more than $100,000 of her retirement in less than 8 months, and it was all because her financial planner had left her money at risk in the market.
His Faithful Stewards shows people how to stop gambling with their retirement, how to earn double-digit interest, and to never risk losing their money in a market downturn.
Many people don't realize until it's too late that their retirement is at risk in most 401ks. They don't know that there's safer ways to grow money while still earning a double-digit return.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free self-assessment tool that helps you to see if you're on track with your finances at HisFaithfulStewards.com. HisFaithfulStewards.com.
This is the final segment of tonight's edition of Encouragement Live. I'm Don Hawkins. Roxanne Intermule of HisFaithfulStewards.com is with me tonight. Our toll-free number, if you'd like to talk with us, is 855-586-5433. We have talked about three things about money. God has given it to us for living, for giving, and for growing. And Roxanne, I know that a lot of people put their money in the stock market. I mean, that's probably, wouldn't you say, the most common place where people invest money today, either in individual stocks, mutual funds, or 401ks, 403bs. But the market goes up, the market comes down, and there are no guarantees in the market, correct?
No, there aren't any at all. And our culture has just taught people to accept that risk.
Now, you've had some clients. In fact, as I recall, one client in particular that really took a hit in the market over a period of just a few months. Talk about that. Well, I know you won't share names, but it's a pretty drastic situation.
Sure. You know, she called me and I was chatting with her and she, you know, and I could hear the stress in her voice. And she told me how in only 6 to 8 months' time, she had, you know, her retirement savings had dropped a full $100,000. And when I inquired further, one of the things that most financial planners are aware of is there's a Wall Street rule of 100. And what that says, and this is for believing still that it's good to have money in the market, is that you take the number 100 and subtract your age. Hmm. And the number you get is the maximum percent of your investment that should be in the market.
Hmm, yeah.
And this was an 80-year-old woman, and they had kept 100% of her money in the market.
Ooh.
And so she lost like 20% of it.
Yeah. So if she had had the advice that is typical of following the rule of 100s, she likely would not have lost, or if she had, she would have lost much less. Now, the market seems to be growing. You know, we hear financial reports, and it looks like the market's going up. Do you have any kind of a feel for whether they're, you know, we've been hearing about a soft landing in the economy and the fact that there's not going to be a recession? I'd be interested in your perspective. I mean, you study this sort of thing and give advice on it. What's your perspective on that?
Well, honestly, I don't give a lot of advice about the market because of the fact that I don't ever want to have to pick up my phone and tell somebody, you just lost 10 or 20 or 30% of your savings because
yes.
I put it in the market. So my qualification doesn't even hardly allow me to comment very much on the market. I mean, what I'm seeing out there happening with the market is, you know, it looks a little more favorable right now, but, you know, it's looked favorable before and then taken a tank. So
yeah, I can't help but thinking about 2007 and leading into 2008. And probably things were looking pretty good there for a while. And all of a sudden, they weren't looking so good, right?
Yeah, and it didn't take but a short period of time to go from doing well to doing poorly.
Yeah, that's the thing to keep in mind. And again, I want to compare the vehicles that you are talking about that make it possible to potentially get. And it's not a guarantee of double-digit income, but there have been instances of double-digit income through this vehicle, and yet it has a guarantee that the principal will not be touched, will not be lost, correct?
Yes, that is correct. The principal won't be lost, and any interest that's been earned and credited to the account can't be lost either.
Boy, that's an important thing to add to that as well, because sometimes we think, well, maybe the principal is guaranteed, but I could lose the interest I've earned. But that way, you're guaranteed a certain element of growth. Well, that's an important thing, it seems to me, to think about. When we talk about stewardship, obviously, saving and building resources and growing wealth is a part of it. But we've talked about those two other areas, and I'd like to just circle back around to those for a few minutes here while we have the opportunity. When it comes to living and earning a living, there's a lot in Scripture about that. But some people don't like the B word, the word for budget. And it seems to me that's an important tool for us in terms of living within our means.
I would totally agree. And, you know, and this is something I do see evidence of, you know, periodically I'll be talking to a client and you know, they look like they could be on page for their retirement, but they have no clue what they need. They haven't been tracking their money. They haven't been controlling it. And so it's very difficult to be able to help somebody know where they're going to be and have what they're going to need if they haven't put together a budget and kept their spending in check.
Hmm. So again, if you haven't done that, that's an important tool. That's an important thing to do. It's never too late to start that. And there are a lot of online tools that people can use these days. I know my bank and a number of other banks that I'm aware of offer some tools for budgeting, and so people can take advantage of those. And then in the area of giving, I think it's important not just to give a certain percentage, but to know where we're giving and for what purposes. You might talk about qualifying where we're giving our money.
Yeah, I think it's important. I mean, you know, there's a lot of choices and a lot of organizations out there with their hand out that really want to, you know, be supported.
Sure.
But checking into those organizations and being sure that part of what they're bringing is the message of the gospel is something that's really important to me. I mean, there's a lot of organizations out there that are going to go out and they're going to help, get food to people that are hungry, but they're not going to meet the spiritual needs.
Yeah.
And what I'm looking for is organizations that not only feed the physical needs, but also would support, the spiritual needs.
Yes.
And that's really important.
Yeah, I think that's an important distinctive. And again, one of the things I like to emphasize is supporting your local church. I think Scripture indicates that that's really where stewardship begins in terms of the giving piece of that. And we recognize that stewardship is not just 10%, as some people like to say, the tithe. It goes to 100%. But I think we really need to start supporting our local church where we're fed spiritually. Talk about that issue.
Well, yes, there's clear indication in the New Testament. It says, you don't muzzle the ox. And the point of that is that those people that are working with us and feeding us, spiritually, it's our responsibility to help sponsor them.
Yeah.
And that the way we do that is by contributing to our local church.
Yeah. I recall a story I heard about a pastor who took over a church as pastor. And the first Sunday he got up, he prayed, "Lord, keep me poor and humble." And one of the deacons turned to another deacon and said, "Lord, if you'll take care of the humble part, we'll handle the rest of it." And unfortunately, that tends to be the way some of that works out. Let's go to the phones and take a call on that note. William is listening tonight. Good to hear from you, William. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. I came in late on the program and really didn't even know the name, but I kept hearing this name come up, Roxanne.
Yes.
But I could never get the last name.
Well,
I did get hisfaithfulstewards.com. I'm retired, but I want to pass the information on to my daughter, and I was just trying to see what information I could get to help my daughter to live well with retirement.
Well, we're so glad to hear from you tonight, William. We appreciate your call, and I believe you're listening in Mississippi. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Very good. And Roxanne, I'm going to spell your last name, INDERMUEHLE. And the best place to find that, William, would be to write down that website. And you have a pen and paper handy. You may have already done this.
Yes, sir. I got hisfaithfulstewards.com.
Yeah, add an S on the end of that, hisfaithfulstewards.com. With an S on the end of it, .com. And on there, what you can do is I would go there with your daughter and let her look, and she can set up a time to talk with Roxanne about retirement issues. Roxanne has talked about some things on the program tonight that I think would be very beneficial for her to hear. And there is a contact us button for your daughter to schedule a time with Roxanne, or you can have her leave a voicemail message with a return phone number, and that way she can reach out. What I'd like to do, William, since you called us tonight, I'd like to ask Roxanne to lead us in prayer, if she will, for you and for your daughter relative to these issues.
Okay.
Okay. Lord, I thank you for William, and I thank you for him wanting to get money right in his life and in the life for his daughter. And I just pray, Lord, for that you would bring wisdom and the support that they need to make that happen. And again, just thank you for his willingness to seek you and your way in doing things and to have the heart to help his daughter. And thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. William, thank you so much for your call tonight. It's great to hear from you. God bless, and we'll be praying for you and for your daughter.
One more thing.
Yes, sir.
I didn't have a pen when you spell that name. Spell it one more time. Enter, go ahead.
INTERMUEHLE. Believe I got that right, Roxanne.
It's actually IND, not IND.
Yeah, INDER. I'm sorry. Yeah, it is correct. INDERMUEHLE. You can always get it off the website. That's the easiest way. William, great to hear from you tonight. Thank you so much for calling. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Roxanne, thank you again. Great material tonight. We're very grateful for your input on the program.
Oh, thank you. Good to be here.
You bet. And friend, once again, if you're interested in connecting up with Roxanne, you'd like to get more information, especially on that vehicle that could save you significant taxes or that guarantees a growth without the risk of loss, hisfaithfulstewards.com. I'm Don Hawkins for Encouragement Live. Good night.